May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I've been in a lot of churches over a lot of years, and many churches who say that they are very, very friendly turn out to be not so friendly at all. Well, that's not quite true. They are friendly to one another. It's just if you're a stranger, they're not that friendly. So I remember actually presiding in the church one day, and some of my close friends from up north decided to come and visit me. So they came into church a bit later. And they weren't really welcomed very much at the beginning. And then at the end of the service, everybody was very, very friendly to each other, talking and chatting and catching up with the week. And my friends were left completely on their own. That kind of friendly unfriendliness is just something to do with the way that we see ourselves in relation to the church and what our role might be. It's something to do with contemporary culture in the sense that contemporary culture has taught us that we gain our significance through purchasing, through being a consumer. If we consume something that's good, then we feel good. If we feel bad, it's good to consume something, and that will make us feel better. It's like Tesco ergo sum, I shop, therefore I am. But if you've been in church, if you make it through the door and you do stay, if you've been in church for 5 minutes, you realise that there's a group of people in any church. Actually, I think this is true of community groups, all kinds of societies as well, who have found something else. They've found a truth which they tend, I'm afraid to say, to hide and keep themselves. It's the secret of the inner circle. Now, in the inner circle, you have people who do lots of things in the church and in various societies. And invariably, they moan about it. They say, oh, I'm so busy, and people don't help, and there's so much to do. But actually, if you try to take away the job that they do, they don't like that very much either. And the reason is this. What they've found, they may not be able to articulate it that way, but they sense it, they feel it, that it's not just about what you get, it's also about what you give that makes you feel significant. And many people have found this, that significance comes from serving. And the last thing they want is for that to be taken away, actually, because that's where a sense of significance and importance comes from. There's something to do with power. It's true, but really at the heart of it is that sense of actually meaning something to somebody. And it works best, of course, when people are grateful for what you do. That makes you feel really, really good. And that truth, that sense that it's about how we feel significant through serving and through giving, which is really at the heart of what church should be. And so those of us who are congregating and know one another and are talking to each other over coffee at the end and ignoring other people, we're still a bit stuck in that sense of, well, it's what I want to get out of the church that I'm here for. And that won't change, and that's not wrong. It's not that we will not be consumers, because of course we always will. We do like to consume things. It's rather adding in the sense that of awareness of other people, where they are, and asking ourselves, how can we serve them? How can we be producers as well as consumers? And so fulfill the law of Christ, which is love. And it's something that connects in the very, very centre of who we are. When we discover this, we flourish. We begin to flourish and grow as people. When we look at the door and say, oh, I don't know that person, I think I'll go and talk to that one because I don't know them, then something shifts inside you and you feel a sense of connection and significance within, which is rather different from just receiving what you want to receive. It really is actually all about seeing and being seen. And one of the problems when people try church is this. They'll walk in, and it takes some courage to do that, by the way. If they're not used to the place, they don't know the people, it takes courage, and they feel invisible. And one thing that we can do in order to be welcoming is not just give good coffee, cake, whatever it is, which we should be doing, but also making that a means to really see people, that they know that they're seen. In our gospel reading, the gift, the real gift of Jesus to the blind man might not be quite what you think it is. The scene opens up with people who aren't seeing very well at all, and they of course are the disciples. The disciples have got the idea correctly that their thinking is meant to be shaped by Jesus' teaching, and so they're trying to see the significance of things that are going on around them. And so they ask, well, why? What's the significance of a man that's born blind? Is it that somebody has sinned? Their focus is on the understanding of the concepts, the ideas, and the theology. I wonder if Jesus just smiled really and thought, yes, you're beginning to get it, but you haven't quite got there yet. Because what Jesus shows them is, it's not really about the theology at all. What's really important here is not seeing what the truth is, but seeing the person. It's looking at the man and seeing him as a man, his experience. And seeing what this man really, really needs. Jesus reaches out to him and he heals him. Because that's what the man needed. And so, Jesus gave him the gift of sight, but he also gave him the gift of being seen. And when you are seen, you know that you're loved, cared for, valued, important, have significance. God sees him. Jesus sees him. And other people now begin to see him. And they see him and they realize that he is disruptive. His very existence disrupts them. The next group of people who are offended by him are, of course, the Pharisees. And they are so locked into their clever theological system that they can't see him as a loved child of Abraham, Moses, of God. But Jesus does. And this man remains seen, and he is so confident now, his inner soul has been built up, he is so confident and knows its significance to the extent that he begins to fight back. These are scary and powerful people. And yet he says, no, I have been healed. This did happen. This man that did this must be from God. He knows it and he witnesses. And he begins to give something back. He begins to witness his faith in Christ to others. When he's encountered by the Christ, he worships him. And this is before the death and resurrection of Christ. He worships him. Where do you get your significance from? What gives you your sense of importance, of significance? Here, we're seeing that it's that Christ gazes into your soul, sees who you are, and knows how to meet your needs. And we as the Church of Christ in this place are called to learn from that and begin to see one another. Not just for what we get out of it. You know the way conversations go. You say something, somebody else says something back, and you're not really listening. You're thinking about the next thing you're going to say. No. We shift now. And we learn from Christ seeing of us. And we begin to look at one another and see one another really, really well and understand. And we ourselves, of course, will be seen. And that's what creates the sense of spirit and belonging and fellowship between us. We begin to serve and value other people's service, being grateful for that. And that's how it should be and would be if we were about to congregate and worship. So what about these days in our preparation for the return of that corporate worship and corporate family living together as we will return to. What do we do now? I would say this. The key is in that sense of we're called to see, to really look and see others. And I want to ask you, who is it at the moment feels they're not being seen? Who are the invisible people? Who are those who are self-isolating and cut off from others? Now, many of us are connecting through social media and through the internet and email even, and that's good. But some people don't have that, especially some of those perhaps who are our most vulnerable people. Who is it that you could reach out to today by picking up a telephone or sending a message in some way on social media in order to check that they're okay and in order to be able to have a conversation with them about what's really important to them? And if you can do it, do this. Ask them to do something for you. Ask them something, some advice, to write something, draw something, I don't know, ask them to give you some memories of how things used to be. Help them feel significant, not just by being done to, but by giving something back. If we can find ways to do that in these difficult times, we will still be the community of Christ.